The following episode may contain inappropriate material. Listener discretion is advised.
You're listening to the PVD Cast with John Orlando.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to another installment of the PVD Cast. I am your humble host and your podcast purveyor, John Orlando, and welcome to episode number 489. I hope all is well with you out there, and thank you very much for checking out this edition of the PVD Cast. We're going to be talking about a big event that occurred this past weekend, the WWE presented SummerSlam. The first time, and probably won't be the last time, by the way, but anyways, the first time that SummerSlam was a two-night event. And I know normally, when it comes to the big PLEs, such as WrestleMania, SummerSlam, Survivor Series, and the Royal Rumble, I'm joined by the Pro Wrestling Pundits, and we usually do a preview episode, and then we do a review episode. But this year, we're going to do things a little bit differently. You see, Ringside Rand, one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundits, is on vacation. A well-earned vacation, might I add, and was not available for recording a preview episode nor a review episode. Likewise, DJ Joey Blaze was in Chicago last week, so I could not actually get his thoughts or predictions or whatnot on SummerSlam again, what we typically do on a preview episode. So this time around, there's no preview. Hopefully you enjoyed the state of pro wrestling that was on in place, I guess you could say, of the preview episode. And this time around, DJ Joey Blaze is here. He is sitting down with me on this episode, and we're going to do a review of the event, letting you know what we thought was good, what we thought was bad, maybe what we thought was ugly. And definitely you want to stick around for that. But before we get to DJ Joey Blaze and myself talking about SummerSlam, I need to thank a couple of great sponsors of this podcast. The first sponsor that I got to thank is, of course, World's Greatest Comics. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. And they have tons of comics from every era, whether you're talking golden, silver, bronze, or modern. They also have graphic novels, toys, comic book supplies, a gigantic collection of back issues. You name it, they got it for your fandom. As I stated before, you can stop by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. Or you could check them out online. WGComics.com is their web address. And they're pretty active on their Facebook page. Just search for at WGComics. And I'd like to share some love with another new sponsor to the PBD Cast. That being Courtney614 Online Sales. Courtney614 has what you need for clothing, health and beauty, antiques, collector's items. So check out Courtney614 or Courtney_614 on your favorite resell app, whether it's Poshmark, Whatnot, eBay, etc., etc. Again, look for Courtney, C-O-R-T-N-E-Y, 614, or Courtney_614, and pick up some great deals, all right? They're out there. Thanks again to both World's Greatest Comics and, of course, Courtney614 Online Sales for their patronage and their support. Really means a lot to me. And with that, I've gone long enough. Let's get on into it. Let's go to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, you're going to hear my conversation with DJ Joey Blaze dissecting and analyzing SummerSlam. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm sitting down this afternoon with DJ Joey Blaze, the only member of the Pro Wrestling Pundits for this edition of the PVD Cast.
It's really weird because It's like tuning into the Muppets and only one of the old guys are sitting there. What are the Waldorf and what's the other one?
Statler.
Statler and Waldorf, right? So which one would I be? Which one's the kind of the chubbier one? I can't remember.
I think that is Waldorf.
Okay, so I'll be Waldorf today, but minus my Statler, which is really strange. That's what it feels like. It feels really strange without the man here. He's on a much-needed vacation, leaving the Golden Ghetto for the sunny seas of, where's he at?
South Carolina, I believe.
South Carolina.
I want to say Myrtle Beach. Or maybe
he's above Myrtle. Like, he's more, I would think he's more of a Hilton Head type.
I think, okay, then it might be Hilton Head. I'm not sure.
Something, maybe his own private island. He said something about some guy named Epstein. I don't know. I don't know if that's an island he's going to or whatever, but.
No, the guy's name was Jerry Epstein. I think you're confused.
Oh, yeah. It's another. Okay. Yeah, I think that was the realtor down there.
Right? Yes. Anyways. So, Ringside Rand, hope that you're having a great time on your vacation. I'm also going to let the audience know that you're probably going to hear a little bit of background noise. It's a little warm here today in Columbus, Ohio.
It was. Yeah, it's a little moist.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people don't like that word.
I know. I don't know why.
Moist is a fun word to say.
It's
moist
a fine
is,
word.
I like moist.
It's a description of cake.
Yeah. Yeah. I've had some moist cake in my day.
Anyways, so you're going to have to put up with the air conditioner running in this episode because, well, I don't want to sweat to death.
Well, it's weird because I would think in such a palatial palace like this, you wouldn't have a hamster on the wheel running so loudly to keep the air conditioner going. But it is what it is.
Is that our new energy idea right now?
Very energy efficient hamsters.
Very energy.
You gotta stick with what works.
There you go. All right. Well, let's talk about SummerSlam because that's what we're here for. And let me let the fans know how we're going to do things. We're going to talk about all the matches that went on. And we are going to rate those matches based on a body slam rating scale. One body slam for the Drizzlin' Shits, 5 for an amazing match that we just thoroughly loved. And of course, you know, anywhere in between as well. So 1 to 5. Let's go ahead and let's just rate the overall PLE, shall we?
So it's tough overall to me. And here's why. It was totally a tale of two cities when it came to this PLE, right? Each night, which is supposed to be different, but I felt like they were different in wrong ways. I did not really care that much for the first night.
Really?
As much as I liked the second night. Obviously, I think we're going to be a little bit different. And I think there's going to be a different vibe going back and forth since I was out of town, we didn't get together to go do a preview. So I think we'll have some interesting takes on this. So overall, I would give the slam of the summer, I can't give it 4 body slams, but I can't go below 3.5. So let's settle for like a 3.75. Let's do like a body slam and a front face cravat, so to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to go 4. I'm going to go 4 body slams. I really enjoyed both nights. Now,
which is strange because usually you're the one that's way more picky and So just to throw that out there.
Well, I felt that there are some problems with the booking, and there are some problems on night 2. I definitely will give you that. As a matter of fact, we'll go ahead and jump into it. I think the biggest problem for me on night 2 was you had 3 similar matches back to back to back. You had the ladder match. You had the no DQ match. You had
a street fight.
Street fight. So you had too many, quote, gimmick, end quote, matches in that. One of those should have been on night 1.
I agree with that.
So I think that the placement of some of these matches was a little bit wonky.
So my very first pet peeve has nothing to even do with any of the in-ring action. It was the start time.
Really?
6 o'clock.
What
is this, WCW Saturday night at 6:05? Like, I prefer the 7 o'clock. And maybe here's why, too. Maybe I'm very... It's a me thing. It's not a WWE thing. It's because we were in a different time zone at the National Card Show, Widget and I. So we were there. So it's even an hour earlier. So we had to go back and watch some stuff because it began at 5 o'clock Chicago time.
Well, I have a theory as to why I started at 6.
Austin? He's injured.
No, not Austin Theory.
Big Bang?
Maybe.
Okay.
Remember a few years ago, WrestleMania? Was that MetLife Stadium? When it let out, there was all kinds of problems with people getting the subways back to their cars, et cetera, et cetera.
They still had that problem this year.
Did they?
Yeah.
Because my thought was, we're starting at 6, so that could alleviate some of those problems.
No, they still had those problems. I saw pictures of sea of people that was ridiculous. And it was much like the same bitching and moaning and complaining of Cleveland. And I walked through that Cleveland. I didn't sit in traffic because we stayed downtown for SummerSlam last year, but it was very similar vibes from what I was seeing on social media. So I don't even think it's maybe the start time. I just think it's the venue.
Okay. Well, let's jump into night one, the very first match. We have Jey Uso and Roman Reigns taking on, of course, Big Bronson Reed and Bron Breakker. What did you think? I'll let you start off.
First of all, I'm enjoying the pairing of Reed and Breakker with Paul Heyman. The whole stole his sneakers gimmick and the shoe aloofa, the tribal thief, that is freaking hilarious. I'm going to tell you right now, Bron Breakker is going to be the man as he slowly, it's been fun watching his development. Like now, like to the point where he was started singing Roman Reigns, the single. I'm like, that shit's funny. That's very Scotty Steiner, right? So he's taken some stuff from his uncle, who, by the way, Scott Steiner was at the National this weekend at Trade Night. It was really neat. They did an interview. The guys didn't even know anything about wrestling, and he put them in their place. It was hilarious. Talked about sleeping with the guy's grandma. So funny. Anyway, the match. It's okay. I think that match was more of a SmackDown type of match, in my opinion.
Okay.
You just got taken back.
I did. Go ahead, finish off your
as far
analysis.
But from what I saw of the match ended up being very good. Like, that's something you'd see booked for that, but ended up being very good. Like I said, I enjoyed everything with it. I enjoyed, you know, it's not a big J guy because, well, for whatever reason, I gave it 3.5 body slams.
I went 4.5 body slams because I really liked this. It went a little long. I think it went about 22, 25 minutes, somewhere in that ballpark. I liked that they worked on Jay's midsection because it sold all those tsunamis he took a few weeks ago. I liked that.
Oh, the storytelling is definitely.
Exactly. I was unbelievably shocked that Reed overshoots that dive to the floor that Roman Reigns. My bad. Sorry.
Yeah, he almost landed on his head.
Yeah. I wrote down Reed, but that it is Roman. So yeah. Jay and Roman go over, and I think from what we saw last night on Monday Night Raw, two nights ago on Monday Night Raw, we see that we're probably going to continue to see Bronson Reed, Roman Reigns, Bron Breakker, and somebody else kind of continue that feud, continue that storyline.
Do we see another member, or do we stick with the people that are involved?
I think that we stick with the people that are involved. Okay. I do. But I like that they're adding in LA Knight into this.
Yeah, why was he not on SummerSlam?
Exactly.
Glaringly missing was definitely LA Knight.
And Chelsea Green.
And Bailey. And Penta?
Yep.
Penta, I think he fits nice into that little carousel of people, too.
Yes.
As far as that goes, so. But, yeah, I agree with you. I just wasn't as hype. I would have rather seen something else curtain jerking that the show. But that's just me.
Well, let's move on to our next match, which is for the WWE Women's Tag Team titles. Charlotte Flair and Alexa Bliss versus Raquel Rodriguez and Roxanne Perez. I have to say, I think that this storyline of not friends, I like it. I mean, it's a different twist on the tag team partners that can't get along storyline. We've seen that a million times in wrestling.
Right.
So I think that they're doing it differently by not being completely, totally, like, angry with one another. They're doing a much better job, I think. We'll just leave it at that. I thought this match had great psychology. They put, of course, the baby faces over for the belts. I know some longtime listeners are going to probably be shocked by this because I'm usually very critical of the women's matches, but I gave this 5 body slams.
Wow.
I really liked it because
wow.
Here you go. 13 minutes.
Yeah.
Perfect timing. perfect timing. They got everything in. They still stuck to the storyline. Yeah,
I'm not knocking Raquel Rodriguez, but out of all four, I feel like she sticks out the most like a sore thumb. So for you to put a 5-star for a match with her ring-wise, she's got a great look. I like her, but I just don't feel she's a 5-star worker. So that's what I think is the most shocking to me. But when you have Roxanne Perez, who's a machine,
yep,
she's amazing. And then Charlotte, probably arguably the best women's wrestler of all time. Just watching and talking and knowing Charlotte Moore, she's definitely Mount Rushmore. And then Alexa Bliss is awesome. I can see that. I enjoyed it. I'm still very salty, though, that they never did put Alexa with the Wyatt Six. Mm-hmm. Maybe it's still something they might end up doing. I don't know. It's tough to put her in an angle, and it's tough to put Charlotte in an angle when they're not going for the main title. And what they've done by doing this is they've actually made it interesting and made it easier to watch with the dynamics between the two. I've enjoyed it. It's been really fun, too, to see them doing content outside the ring as well, which has been, it's been very, very helpful with storylines. I'm in that middle 3.5 to 4. I don't know why I'm so hard to please this past weekend. I don't know what it is. I was very happy to see Charlotte and Alexa. I mean, Alexa being the hometown girl, I'm a huge mark. I'm a mark for both of them. I'm actually a mark for each one of them that worked that night or that match. But I'm probably in that 3.75 to 4 realm of body slams as well. I feel like I would have definitely picked Alexa and Charlotte to win it too if we would have done a preview. So it makes the most sense right now, especially building in. So here's a couple things, not to cut you off there, but a couple things. It's going to be interesting to see where the storyline goes. Do they make them like a quote-unquote women's old guard? Since we have such an influx of women coming in, do we see a stable forming here? I think that has the groundwork now for that. You have her and Charlotte. Do we see a couple of the other quote-unquote old guard females come into that stable, which would be really neat because there's such an influx of young talent? Or do they just stick to the two? And how long does this last? Is this something that they're going to build to WrestleMania? So there's a lot of different ways they can go, which is nice about that tag team, too.
I think there's only one negative thing I could say about Alexa Bliss right now, and you mentioned it. If she's not going to be with the Wyatt Six, she should stop doing Sister Abigail.
I agree with that.
I think that that's still pulling along the fans. And I think a new coat of paint on Alexa Bliss would be great, too. I mean, she's kind of still got that goth look, which, again, makes me think of the Wyatt Six. So I think maybe, I'm not saying she has to go back to the way she was, you know, in NXT, but a new paint of coat. A new paint of coat?
Or
a new
coat of paint.
Yeah,
I know what you're saying. But what's cool is with this dynamic is maybe they can slowly build towards taking that away, but then somehow it leads to some sort of personality disorder, which she's really good at pulling that type of stuff off. So I can see that almost, you know, Alexa, if we're a tag team, we need to start dressing more alike or something like that type. And then maybe that caused some friction. So I think it would be nice, but I think it's going to be a good way to go. Kind of a la Toni Storm, where she had that little, what I'm saying? Back to the old, like almost like, you know, fake out. So I don't know. I'm really excited to see. It's been an interesting pairing that I felt like at first was just kind of thrown together, but I think they have some gold here.
All right, our next match, Karrion Kross takes on Sami Zayn. I'm going to let you go ahead and give your thoughts first.
Karrion Kross is so over. So I want to be full on. I didn't get to watch much of this match. It's just one of those matches I didn't get to. I caught the beginning, caught some of the end. I had a very busy weekend. With that said, I did catch how over he was with the crowd, and we see how everything's going. I'm surprised he did eat the L.
Yeah.
So I'm surprised that he did. So I don't know if we're being worked on this contract thing or if they're really leaving. But as far as merchandise sales, as far as I don't have concrete numbers in front of me, but his sports cards, his trading cards, let's say his auto used to sell 3 months ago for like $15. It's now a $40 or $45 card.
Okay.
So his popularity keeps growing. And I feel like Sami Zayn, I think we've seen enough. Does that make sense?
No, it does, because I wrote down that our fans bored with the storyline.
I'm tired of him being the underdog from the underground.
Yeah,
I'm tired of the story. Like, just do something with him.
Here's my point. is Karrion Kross, because I watched it with some friends, and they were very much poo-pooing Karrion Kross. Oh, he's not a very good worker. Okay, you know what? He maybe isn't. And that's why he needs to have this character. He needs to have the, quote, work shoot, if you will, to help that. And that will get, because we've seen it many times before, where you have somebody that is doing the work shoot, blurring the lines, and that shoots them right to the top of the stratosphere in the world of wrestling. I feel like, is he not a great wrestler? Okay, he's middle of the road.
But he doesn't have to be.
Right, and
he doesn't have to be. He's one of those characters that does not have to be. I'm very interested in what he has to say.
Right, and here's the other thing. We now have, the WWE now has, I should say, not we, but they have plenty of opportunities to get guys ready to go. You have NXT, you have AAA, you have TNA. You know, if you
Evolve,
I forgot about Evolve. If you are unhappy with somebody's direction, you have basically territories built by the WWE where you could go and practice a character, so to speak, and then come back and
perfect it. Which they are currently doing with some people.
They are. So I don't know what the problem is with Karrion Kross. I thought this match was okay. I gave it 3 body slams in the middle because I thought it was okay. Yeah. And with what you said before you, I didn't mean to interrupt, I'm kind of tired of Sami Zayn too. He should be one that goes somewhere else for a while because, again, how can we miss you if you never go away?
He can be perfectly booked right now. How's that? Well, you have this whole Grande Americano. Boy, wouldn't it be great for El Generico to come out and make a... I would think that would be amazing.
Oh, my God. That would be awesome.
Like, there's stuff that's there.
Yeah.
And they keep trying to build... And I think Sami Zayn is a wonderful talent. I think he can... He's one of the better workers there, but he's grown stale to me as far as what they're trying to do with him.
Yeah.
Not him as a person. I think he's a phenomenal worker. It seems amazing outside the ring, but just where they're going. But I wasn't the same. I gave this about 3 to 3.5. It would have been even lower if Karrion Kross wasn't Karrion Kross.
Well, let's talk about our next matchup, which is for the Women's Heavyweight Championship. Tiffany Stratton defending against Jade Cargill. Who was the heel and who was the face in this match? I can't figure that out in this whole storyline.
I don't understand what they're trying to build here. First of all, have we seen enough of Jade? And I hate to say that. Jade looks like a million bucks, but... If your friends were talking about Karrion Kross can't work, I'm assuming they tore her apart.
Yes.
Okay. And it's a shame. It's a shame. You know, she looks like a million bucks. There's potential there. She's an athlete, and it's just like I just felt she was kind of thrust into that a mm-hmm. little bit too fast, mm-hmm. especially somebody like Tiffany, because Tiffany's only been wrestling 4 years.
Mm-hmm.
That's a lot to put on Tiffany Stratton.
It is, and I will say that there was some sloppy work here and there, but. I ended
the
up...
The one spot where she fell the wrong way. And
yeah.
I was like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, there was that. Tiffany's over, which I think is the right call to make. I gave it 3.5 body slams because it wasn't as bad as it could have been, but it wasn't as good as it could have been either.
I mean, that's a solid way to look at it. I mean, this had train wreck written all over it.
It did.
I mean, literally, you looked at it and I felt surprised. I honestly, for some reason, I thought, well, they're so far up Jade Cargill's ass, maybe they'll put her over. This goes back to the last time we've talked about Jade. They are booking her wrong still.
Yep.
They are. She needs to be Goldberg.
Yep.
That's just...
Absolutely.
That's, with that look, that's what she needs to be. She's not going to give you a technical match. Maybe she can do a couple of things, a la Goldberg, where he did an arm drag and people lose their mind. But, like, they need to go back and refocus on her character. Because I feel like if she was kind of like what they did last night in NXT with Lash Legend and Nia Jax, like, they're building them up as giants, which they are.
They are.
And you have another Leviathan-esque character like Jade Cargill, who, I mean, she has it all. She's amazing looking. Like, she's gorgeous. She's got a great look. She likes it. She has everything. She can even talk on the mic a little bit. They need to focus on her positives and kind of alleviate the negatives.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it 3 body slams because I was surprised that it was decent.
Mm-hmm.
It went way better, much like you. It went way better than what I thought it would.
Well, that leads us to our next tag team match where Drew McIntyre and Logan Paul take on Randy Orton and Jelly Dick. I'm sorry, Jelly Roll.
Jelly Roll rolled around a lot, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Look.
It was funny watching his whole rolling into position just to be in the right. Like, you could see him looking up, and then he put his hands in the right position. I know we don't have video, but I'm literally taking my hands. And, like, he looked so awkward. But, obviously, he's not the best celebrity to do it. But he was passable.
Here's the thing. And I know this is where people are going to say, because you're old, John. I don't get Jelly Roll. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know why people think he's so great.
I like his music. I think it's good. I like his story. I mean, he came from running drugs, and I mean, he was just somebody that was a huge zit on the ass of society to making a difference in doing what he did. Hell, he used to run drugs over there in Northern Lights here in Columbus.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, like there's documents. I know people that knew him that grew, you know, he'd come down, go around, whatever. Like, he's came a long way. I get that. He's a famous country. He does country. He does hip hop. I get that. He's got a following. That's cool. But I'm done with celebrities right now.
Okay. I could go. I definitely get with you on that one.
I'm over, especially when there's so many people to get over in the company. I think he would have been better in a, ringside role.
Yeah.
Jelly Roll, ringside role.
Ha ha ha.
But no, I.
Look, I gotta say, here's a couple of the notes I wrote down. I did the Fuck You, Logan was a pretty good chant. I like that. That was good. Here was my thing. The problem that I had with this match is that Jelly Roll took too much of the heat. Like, there was an awful lot of heat on him. And I'm like, logically, if it pulled me out of my mindset of enjoying this match, because I'm like, this guy's getting his ass kicked. And he's not a wrestler. Like, that disbelief that you suspend, I was like, man, he just took way too much heat. I think they should have started with him first. He tags to Orton. Orton takes a little of the heat, maybe another heat spot with Jelly Roll, and then the comeback and the victory.
Yeah, I think, he would have had a couple nice moves in there, too, to make that comeback and to make the, to get that crowd pop and make that save for Randy and do a couple things. Like, oh my gosh, I can't believe he did that. But yeah, there was some weird role reversals in that. But once again, Logan Paul, man. Dude, he's just, I know people hate him, but he's such a freak athlete. Dude.
Yeah, he is. He is.
Just that whole splash. Man, he destroyed Jelly Roll on that table.
Absolutely
destroyed him. And Jelly Roll tried to do the whole thing cover up too. I'll tell you what, if people were tuning in, you know, if that brought some new eyes to the product and it did that, then that's fine. I gave it 3 body slams. It wasn't anything spectacular. It was okay filler. And I just enjoy watching Logan Paul do crazy shit.
Yeah, I gave it 3 body slams too. I thought it was right down the middle. The heels did go over. They did get the victory. And like I said, wasn't terrible. Wasn't great. That leads us to our main event of night one, CM Punk versus Gunther. Man, chops to the back, chops to the leg. This was a pretty physical matchup.
This match kind of took me back.
To what?
To like some older school wrestling. Like,
Because
they're both old school.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it. Some people might find some of the stuff boring. Like, I enjoyed, CM Punk playing that underdog a little bit, trying to get him up. There was some cool stuff throughout the stiff chops from Gunther, though. Is that you think that's the stiffest of all time? Even worse than Big Show's?
I would say.
I have never seen thuds. I've heard, but these are boom, like thuds.
I'm going to say Gunther, Big Show, Wahoo McDaniel, Benoit.
Yeah, Benoit has to be up there, too. Yeah, he stuck him in. I enjoyed the match. I actually gave the match 4 body slams. I would have been at 4.5, maybe 5, if Seth didn't cash in. And I know that's I'm such a mark here. I'm playing the mark. Maybe I got played. I felt like we saw true emotion from CM Punk for finally winning. And I felt really happy for him, legit happiness. And then when that hit, I was like, shit. We all knew it was coming. Like, we all knew it was coming if we follow anything or we hear anything. Like, because I actually think that Seth's knee thing was legit at first, right? I think he was supposed to cash in on Goldberg. I think that's why Goldberg's kind of pissed that stuff got switched. They're not going to come out and reveal all that stuff. I think something was supposed to happen with Goldberg, and then Seth cashed in that night, but they weren't sure about his knee. Mm-hmm. So they went forward with this, and I just hated seeing cashed in on Punk. Because, you know, I know it's a work, blah, blah, blah. Guys, don't kill me on this.
But the window is closing for CM Punk.
Exactly. It is. I have never, like, to see CM Punk in this position and do a 180 from where he was at, and, like, being such a company guy, like, and helping lift younger talent and stuff like that up. Maybe it was his idea. I don't know. We will never know. Probably no. Maybe we will. But, like, I hated to see that happen to him. Maybe the next night on Raw or something. Give him, you know, but, like, I felt so bad for him. But the match was really good. I just wish that the cash-in wouldn't have happened. I wish they would have just kept it with him coming out saying, hey, I'll be back soon or something. But we all know what happened.
Okay, I'm going to be honest. I was worked by Rollins' knee. I really was worked. I fell into it because I'm like, yeah, it might. Maybe they're not playing it up as, or they're playing it up as it's more serious than that. But that knee's got to be injured. There's no way he's coming back. So I got worked. I gave it 4 body slams too. The one thing that kind of disturbed me, so to speak, or ruffled my feathers was the stupid where Gunther in the middle of the match goes out and celebrates. Like, he stands on the table and that makes no logical sense.
Were you saying he was the best in the world?
Yeah. And I was like, that took me out. I thought that was dumb. I thought that there were a couple spots that you could clearly tell they were talking
about. But they literally did that so he could come in and have that crimson mask.
Yeah.
Because that's why, you know, maybe they could have done it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, you know, we pulled out and camera goes away, comes back, obviously, boom. And, you know, and what's nice is that gave Punk that window because he was, quote-unquote, blinded.
Yeah.
And what I really like, too, is that that loss didn't affect Gunther.
No, it didn't.
The Uso loss did because he should not have tapped out to Jey Uso. I don't care what anybody says. That was a stupid, stupid finish. A quick roll-up would have been better and Gunther looked strong. Gunther still lost and looked strong.
Yep.
And if he might have some minor injury, he can still come back and be a big deal. He can bounce back from this. So I really like that aspect. I just don't. So obviously we're leading to Punk versus Rollins at Mania.
Yeah, obviously. Yeah.
I mean, that's, I think, what Punk wins. I think 26 is going to be year of Punk. I think he's going to win Mania, or he's going to win the Rumble, then win Mania. And then I think he retires in 26.
All right.
That's where I see it all going.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. He's part of that little carousel we talked about with, of course, Roman Reigns, Jey Uso, Penta, himself, LA Knight. He's in that mix. And so obviously from what we saw Monday night, that they're going to keep that mix going. And who knows? When's the next the French pay-per-views next, isn't it, or PLE?
Yes, and then we're going to be on the heels of Survivor Series here soon. Yeah, so I think that's what we're going to see. Do we see new members in the Vision, which that's what they're called now?
Okay. All right.
Do we see new members in that? Because I feel like we see maybe a new member. I think that would be perfect for Ethan Page.
I still want Becky Lynch to be the new member.
I totally agree with that, but I'm talking about men. So for Survivor Series.
Oh.
Because I think we already have the one built where we could do Punk, and you could do Roman and Jey. And then maybe
LA Penta Knight.
Or LA Knight.
Yeah. Ethan Page would be a good one. I would say certainly would be a good one. Here you go. I'll throw one out there once he's done with all the other chicanery that he's involved in. Kaiser.
I know.
Ludwig Kaiser, yeah. I think, would be a good addition.
They need somebody that can cut a promo and eat the pin. And those are two good people for them, I think.
Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah.
I still want the Dangerous Alliance. I thought, I don't understand. Like, that's what I wanted.
That would have been perfect for them to call it that.
Yes. Absolutely.
The revamped new Dangerous Alliance, and they could go out and they could do it like the way that he did it. Like, have a tag team, have.
Yeah.
For sure.
Absolutely. And then every once in a while, backstage interviews or backstage skits with Larry Zbysko and Arn Anderson and Medusa. She's all over their shit now. So let's get Medusa in there.
Yeah, you could have Zbysko or Ryan Anderson show up backstage.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. So, All right, well, before we get into night two, Joey, it's that time of the show where I have to thank some great sponsors here. And, of course, when I talk about great sponsors, I'm talking about World's Greatest Comics.
Of course.
They got everything you need for your comic book fandom. They got, of course, single issues, collections, graphic novels, toys, collectibles, hundreds upon hundreds of back issues, some really cool stuff behind the counter, some primo old school stuff. So basically, you owe it to yourself, especially if you live in Ohio, to stop on by the store. They're located at 5974 Westerville Road in Westerville, Ohio. But maybe you are in Chicago, or maybe you are listening to me in Sacramento, and you're like, I'd like to check out the store, but I'm not driving all that way, and I don't blame you. Well, that's okay. You can check them out online. WGComics.com is the web address, and they're pretty darn active on the Facebook page. So just check out WG Comics on Facebook. And once again, like to thank all of the fine folks at World's Greatest Comics for their support throughout the year.
I never thought about reaching out to them, and I feel horrible.
Because?
Did you see that Invincible has his own trading card set out?
No, I did not see that.
There's an Invincible trading card set out. Nobody had it at the National. I wanted to buy it. And they had special stuff at SDCC. And I went to buy it yesterday from Steel City. And they were sold out. So it's a very cheap hobby. The hobby box is only like $60.
Oh, okay.
Facsimile autos, all the characters. So I might have to reach out to them to see if they have some. If they have that.
You know what? Real quickly before we get to night two, let's talk about SDCC. And especially for us, the big news was the new LJN-like figures.
LJN-like. I mean, they're down to the cardboard.
Yeah, exactly. You know,
they're redoing the whole packaging and everything with that. I'm looking very forward to Series 1. It's what, Dusty, Logan Paul, Hogan, and who else?
Cena.
Yeah. I think, and Cena has a Chase figure.
Oh, does he?
Yeah. Okay. Cena, I think, has a Chase. They did pre-orders on Target. I'm just going to walk in the store and buy them. The pre-orders are really weird with their stuff. But I'm probably going to, I see myself maybe collecting that line. And then on top of that, so they make that announcement. And then not to be outdone, our good friend Matt Cardona decides to say, hey, Major, we are doing AEW, Big Brother guys.
There you go.
And that we talked about before, that Stinger.
Yeah, that Stinger is lifted right from the gloop. Who else is in that AEW pack?
I think AEW too fast. That's the only one I'm worried about, to be honest with you.
You think that one will sell out quick?
That's the one I'm going to go for. Okay. I would assume so.
Okay.
Yeah, so the Sting and the orange tights is six. So here we go. We got... Well, yeah, I'm not going to want any of these. Maybe Tony Storm, but it's Hangman Adam Page and then goofy-ass Will Ospreay. So,
is that his new moniker?
I don't get him.
Goofy-ass Will Ospreay.
I don't get Bruv. I don't understand it.
Well, you, I mean...
Am I old?
No, that's the British slang. You got to be, you know, hip to that. Have you watched a lot of Danny Boyle movies?
No.
Okay, well then that's why. See, that's why.
Yeah, and then I think that there's going to be bloody variants of Dickhead Page and then Tony Storm. So.
Okay.
So I'll probably do Sting and Tony.
Tony's black and white, right?
Of course.
Okay, I thought so.
Yeah.
Anyways, all right, let's get into SummerSlam Night 2. We kick things off with Io Sky versus Naomi versus Rhea Ripley in a three-way match for the championship. I thought there was some great psychology in this match.
I'm not surprised.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the three-way at Mania was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
So, poor Rhea, though. Like, I feel like, and she, after she tweeted, she's like, I hate SummerSlam. I was surprised, though. I was very surprised I would not have picked Naomi to retain.
No.
And I'm surprised that she went over. But yeah, the psychology was good. There was great moves where they incorporated, you know, three of them. There was a lot of action. And I think night two, and I hate to say it, was almost too much action, which there was stuff, like we said before, that maybe they could have taken from night two and moved to night one and swapped a couple things for the booking wise. So lots of action in this match. Very surprised that Naomi went over, but I gave it 4 body slams.
I love that Naomi went over with a handful of tights. You don't see that very often,
and
I like that. I thought the structure of the match was good. I felt that the psychology was on point. I gave it 5 body slams.
Wow.
I know, but it was damn good.
Overall, yeah, it was very entertaining.
Well, our next match is one of those matches I think could have been moved to night one. It's the TLC match with the Street Profits versus DIY versus MCMG versus Rey Fénix and Andrade versus Fraction versus the Wyatt Six. And I guess we got to talk about, I guess you could say, the elephant in the room.
Uh-oh.
And that is, what was Candice LeRae thinking?
Got to put some respect on her name, dude.
I do. You know what? That's why this got, just for that spot alone, I moved it up. I originally marked it as a three. I was like, this is a three because this is a train wreck. This is a car crash. We know what we're getting. But even that, but when she did that, I'm like, okay, you know what? Fuck it. Four. It deserved it for being so crazy.
I think a lot of people have quote unquote shit on her.
Mm-hmm.
And I've always been a fan of Candace. I'm a huge fan of Johnny Wrestling. I've always liked Gargano and Ciampa. It depends on which day of the week. Some people say Ciampa, some people say Ciampa. Anyway, that spot was mind-blowing. Even more mind-blowing, there were 17 people involved in that match.
I know.
And it worked.
Yeah.
It could have been a massive clusterfuck.
Yep.
First of all, I liked that they paid homage to the Dudleys and the Hardys at the beginning.
Yes.
I thought that was nice that they had them there and paid homage to them.
There was one team missing. I thought,
Who could it be?
Who could it be? Anyways.
I love this match. I was literally what the kids call bricked for this match. It was just nonstop effing action. Uh-oh. You're laughing at me because I'm using current kids terms.
Bricked sounds like you're constipated.
It might, like, we would think that, right? Like, get some Metamucil or get something to clear that stuff up. But brick means, like, hard on. You got a boner.
Oh.
You're bricked up. You're ready to go, baby.
Oh, that's okay.
What, you know, that's our current slang. You know, I got to go with that. I'm going to say I'm bricked up. I haven't really enjoyed a ladder match like that for a minute. I gave it 5 body slams just because I couldn't walk away. Like, I had to use the bathroom, and by hook or by damn crook, I was going to piss myself first before I left the room watching that match. I enjoyed it that much. I gave it 5 body slams. I love that the Wyatts kept it and went over, and hopefully they keep it for a while because they've been playing hot potato with those tag titles for a minute. And Gargano said it on his Instagram. I would put that tag team division up against any tag team division anywhere, maybe in any decade. On the SmackDown side of things, they have some people there where we were talking a year ago that WWE doesn't know what the F to do with tag teams to what they had Sunday night. And it's dramatically different.
Well, I think I already stated this, but I gave it 4 body slams. I had penciled in 3, but I changed it after that bump. I would like to see the Wyatt Six do Freebird rules with the tag belts.
Yeah.
I think that would be something sweet, something different to do, and even include Nikki Cross.
Oh, so that would be...
Nikki Cross and Gacy versus the Street Profits would be...
Why don't we see her more, by the way? That's the thing.
I don't know.
She needs to go after something. Like, she is so talented.
Agreed. Absolutely.
And she plays that character so well.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, I just enjoyed it. I'm a little biased. I'm a big mark for the Wyatt Six, especially those guys individually, because I feel like those guys, before they got in a position like this, could all work and didn't really get the respect they deserve. So, happy to see Wyatt Six back a couple months ago and doing this. But like I said, I'm very anxious to see where do we go from here.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, that was a big payoff. Do we see another tag team intervene, come in? Who steps up? Who's the new number one contender? What do we see with the Wyatt Six? I would love to see the Wyatt Six be part of War Games for Survivor Series somehow.
That would be cool.
I don't think we'll see that because we're only going to get one War Games match probably. But
probably. Well, we'll get one for the men and one for the women.
Yeah. So, anyway, my 2 cents. But I enjoyed it. To me, that was match of the weekend. I know a lot of people probably don't think so, but I just enjoyed it that much because TLC is something they don't do that often with the title, with the name of it. Obviously, mm-hmm. we see that matches. But, like, but I think this match was supposed to happen at Mania, and it never did. It never panned out.
You said this was the match of the weekend for you. This next match is not the match of the weekend for me. And we're talking about, of course, the Intercontinental title match between Lyra Valkyria and Becky Lynch. This is the worst match, in my opinion, on the show. It went way too long. It didn't make sense in the psychology.
How many times can you tie Lyra's hands together?
Bailey comes out randomly in out of nowhere.
I'm sorry, I didn't mind that.
I know you didn't. You have a crush. Looking at that. I know, but yeah, this was bad. I mean, I checked it. It was like almost 29 minutes.
What?
Yeah, I was like, this is balls.
Which it should be. You'd make that match a 12-minute match. That's a four body slam match on it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And they didn't need to do the street fight.
No.
Because you already have a street fight as part of your main event.
Or this would have been this would have been the one to move the
move over. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe flop it with something else, but yeah.
Yeah. You know, look, again, I've said it publicly as well. I'm not a big fan of Lyra. I think she needs to go back down to NXT. Or evolve and get some more seasoning. I mean, she's not bad, but she just doesn't... To me, she's not comfortable with... You look at Evolution. I watched Evolution. She didn't know in that three-way match if she wanted to be the heel or the babyface and adjust her skills to match that.
That makes sense. That makes sense. She could definitely use some seasoning. I think she's a great in-ring talent, but when it comes to the actual storytelling part, and the ins and outs and that, yeah, she definitely needs some seasoning.
Yeah. So I gave it 2 body slams.
I'm right with you. I'm right with you. 2 body slams, and I think that might be kind of generous. I knew it was long, but I didn't realize it was 29 minutes long.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about what happened on Raw. We see that Becky Lynch now might be feuding or might have a program with Nikki Bella. Okay, but then what do you do with Lyra? Is she going to feud with Bayley? What is she going to do? See, this would be the time to demote. I hate to use the term demote, but demote her to NXT.
Once again, you're in a situation with an embarrassment of talent in the women's division that, God bless Nikki Bella, but...
Why is she back?
We don't need you.
We don't, no. We don't need you. I totally agree with you on that.
So I don't understand that. I mean, it was kind of a killer promo, though, when Becky shot on her.
Yeah.
That was kind of funny.
That was.
Yeah,
I
enjoyed that. But
now, you have to excuse my ignorance because I'm not hip to the pop culture. But did Nikki Bella have a child with her former husband, or?
I don't know. I don't think they had a child.
They didn't have a child. They just got divorced.
Yeah, you could have been the best, hubby or bride and whatever wife bride. Tandem in the WWE, but now he can't see you or whatever.
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah. That was good. So, all right, steel cage match time. Solo Sikoa versus Jacob Fatu for the U.S. Heavyweight Championship.
Letdown.
I
had high expectations for this match. I really did. And I was let down. I think the ending seemed kind of weird.
Yeah.
They could have done so many different things. There was the rumor of Zilla being there. So many different things could have happened. I like Solo, but I think Solo is more fitting in the player coach role, like kind of the mouthpiece role, than where he's at. Like, I'm not digging him as the champ, the U.S. champ.
They've really taken what we consider to be what's left of the bloodline and really diluted it.
Oh, for sure.
I mean, I'm sorry to say it, but
it's not called that anymore. But
no, it's got initials now.
Yeah, it's like a sandwich at Jason's Deli, BMT or whatever.
I think it stands for my family something, MFT. MFT.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this was another placement that could have been on the night one. Solo goes over, but the finish was weird. It was bad. They missed the handcuff spot.
That's a thing now. That's what happened in AAA with Alberto Del Rio in one of those matches he just wrestled on his way out the door. They missed, fucked up the handcuff spot down there.
Yeah, I don't know. Some of my friends were like, man, better be glad Vince wasn't there because he would have fired somebody for missing that shot. I'm like, yeah, well, he probably would have. But and then, like, I didn't dig the whole like, they sent in, who did they send in? Jeff Cobb and somebody else. I can't remember who else they sent in there. Maybe it was Tala Tonga. I don't know. It doesn't matter.
What a name, right? Because he's the tall one. So, what do you think over there? Do Triple H, what we should call him? Well, I'm the game. I'm smart. He's tall. Let's call him Tala. Like, come Tala on. Like, Tonga. Where did that come from?
Yeah, I don't know.
I like Kakalo better, but hey, whatever.
Anyways, and I hate JC Thoroughbred or whatever his freaking name is. He's Jeff Cobb to me. He will always be Jeff Cobb.
Yeah, I feel like they've dropped the ball on him.
Oh, my God. You took the words right out of my mouth.
The dude is such an in-ring great worker, and you talk about deluded.
Yeah.
They've really deluded what he can do.
Mm-hmm.
So I would love to see a full-blown Jacob Fatu, Jeff Cobb match is what I would like to see.
Yes.
I would like to see that.
I agree 100% on that. And so we have to wonder where this goes as well, because I know they're SmackDown wrestlers, and SmackDown's going to be a few nights from now. I wonder where they're going to go with both of these guys, Solo and Fatu.
Jacob, to me right now, and it sucks, he's 32?
Yeah, I think he's in his early 30s.
So if you're going to do anything with him, you need to do it in the next year or so, mm-hmm. my opinion. I think him and Bron Breakker are the future right now of the WWE. I think they have the possibility of being that big rivalry that they can do down the road because of their larger-than-life personalities, their in-ring work. I think they can be – nothing's ever going to top Rock Austin, but they can be one of those – in 3 years, that can be like one of the big – so I think they need to start doing more that way for him.
Do you put the title on Fatu?
Eventually, I would.
Yeah, I would have no problems putting it on him with a little more, I hate to use the term again, but a little more seasoning.
Of course. And what's great about him is, like, he started, when they brought him in, I was like, are you serious, bro? Does he fit that mold? The dude has been nothing but a soldier and listened to everything they've said. And it's paying off.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the next year to 18 months, we see a world title on Jacob.
Okay. I agree. I think he will be a very good world champion.
100%.
All right. To a great matchup. Now, we've had some not so great matches, but this one I thought was pretty darn good. Dominic Mysterio versus AJ Styles. Love the tip of the hat to Eddie Guerrero in the lowrider, which I did. The comment was made by my friends when they said on commentary about AJ's son, Avery, somebody said, the whitest guy in that car. I was like, you know what? He certainly seems to be very awkward and doesn't know what the hell to do.
Like, you watched him do the Eddie Guerrero thing was funny. The homage to Eddie was great. How good is Dom?
Dom is really good.
Like, if you think about when he came in, little baby-faced Dom tagging with Daddy, it was very David Flair-esque to me. Like, is he going to be any good? Like, what's going on here? Dom is awesome.
Yes.
Dom, I mean, his character work, his promos, how he can be the scared of shit, you know, or chicken shit heel, but he can play up to being a babyface. The crowd was cheering him. So he's kind of a tweener, I feel, because the crowd, they were cheering for him over AJ.
Mm-hmm.
I gave this 4 body slams. I really liked the ending. I like the old school stuff with the chair and then with the boot.
Oh yeah.
And then Dominic doing his after the show interview was hilarious too. He took his boot. He's like, yeah, this is real cow fur. Like dude, he gets it. And so many times do we see these guys that just want to live on the name or live on their daddy's name. Dude, Dominic is his own person, and he's that dude.
I gave it 4 body slams as well. I also liked, as I wrote down, the Michael Hayes boot spot, because it takes me back to World Class. I also enjoyed the chair shenanigans. I thought that was great. Dom still, in my mind, could bulk up a little bit more. But I'd say, other than that, he's darn near perfect.
But and he's one of those guys that I think he can be that way, and he doesn't need the world title.
No.
I think he'll see it. He's so young. He'll see it one day. But, like, his character work and you go back and you just watch the evolution of Dominic Mysterio. Like I said, from when he clean-shaven babyface came in with Daddy, then moved on to be with Rhea, and now with Liv, and, you know, like, there was nothing to do with the Judgment Day at ringside, too.
Yeah.
Which was a breath of fresh air to me.
Yeah, no Finn Balor, no J.D. McDonagh.
None of the females.
None of the females, because they had already wrestled the night before.
And that made it stand out that much more to me, because Dom didn't need them for any type of heat or for any type of... He didn't need that extra in that match. Nope. And it went... And look, hats off to AJ Styles, man.
Yeah.
Like, being his last SummerSlam, he came out and said that. You know, he's probably going to... He's going to retire next year. What an absolute talent, AJ. We've been spoiled... More than what we know, I think, by AJ Styles.
All right, it's time for main event time of night two, Cody versus Cena. It is a street fight. And I guess I kind of missed when Cena turned face, I guess, because I don't remember him being happy.
SmackDown the night before.
That's what I heard from all of my folks that I was watching it with. They said, oh, it happened last Friday night on SmackDown.
And I thought that was all going to be a work. I really thought we would see Dwayne. I thought something would happen, and then Dwayne would come down, and then Cody would turn heel. I thought a bunch of different things. I didn't think Cody would win that like he did, but Cody did have some heelish things. He did do some heelish things to win that match. Mm-hmm. I enjoyed this match. I enjoyed old school babyface Cena. He went. He worked.
Mm-hmm.
Like there was some stuff that I really enjoyed. One of the things though, I'm kind of starting to really get annoyed by is having to give somebody 675 of their finishers to win a match.
Thank you. That's what I wrote down for me. The biggest problem. Too many finishers.
It's called a finisher for a reason.
Right.
I can understand maybe kicking out of one of them.
I can even give it to you that if Cody does the AA, Cena's going to kick out of it because it's not his move. He doesn't know how to, quote, properly, end quote, do the move.
Right.
Yeah, I'm with you too. Like we counted. I think there were seven AAs or six.
Don't get me wrong. There's a difference between a finisher and a false finish. False finishes are great. I love those. One of my favorite matches of all times, Ricky Steamboat, Macho Man, WrestleMania 3. A lot of Christian's matches were always enjoyable to watch because he was king of the false finish as well. I think it's kind of a Pat Patterson thing, to be
mm-hmm.
honest with you.
Mm-hmm.
So I false finishes, I enjoy when it makes sense in the ring with the psychology. Numerous finishers, I do not enjoy. It's a finisher for a reason.
Right.
So it may be, like I said, two, but I don't, that's probably my max on that. So I gave it four body slams. I really enjoyed it. And boy, did I almost shit my pants after Cody won.
Well, you know what? I looped that whole situation into my rating for the main event. Is I gave it 3.5 body slams. It was okay. It was all right. But let's talk about the situation that we've alluded to. Is we see the return of Brock Lesnar.
Per Cena's request, I guess.
You know what? I'm very curious about this whole background of how they bought Brock back. Because I'll be honest, I thought he's still tainted with the Janelle Grant scandal. And with Vince McMahon.
So they said he's been cleared.
Okay.
So the word is he's been cleared. TKO didn't want to take a risk at that. And I guess it's golden. And you know, they wanted to make sure. And I think it went to maybe why they kind of changed the Cena character a little bit last
mm-hmm.
minute.
Mm-hmm.
Because he wants, on his farewell tour, he wants to wrestle one of his greatest nemesis. It was so much like the ending of the pay-per-view when Lesnar came back that first time. Remember?
Yeah.
It reminded me almost tick for tack how he came out and stalked the ring and then got in there and delivered the F5. It was kind of like, But to me, okay, I get it. It told a story. Now Cena can kind of get off TV, go whatever he needs to do right now because the show's coming back, Peacemaker.
Yeah.
Which I'm super fired up for. I fucking love that show. I had to say F and love it because it's Peacemaker.
It's Peacemaker.
So maybe just go kiss babies, shake hands, shake babies, kiss hands, however you do it. Go do that. And then we'll get Lesnar, Cena, Survivor Series.
Do you think there's more nemesises, I guess, to come?
Who else are we going to see? Who would you like to see? Because there's some that we're not going to be able to see Edge.
No, we can't see Edge. We can't see JBL because I don't think he's ready to... I think he's cool with being the Lariat guy. Who else would there be? I mean, Rollins, but Rollins is going to be tied up with Punk. I'm just throwing it out there. Is it Rusev? There's some unfinished business there. But even if it is just Brock Lesnar, that's a great stopping point for his career. You know, if he vanquishes the Beast, go out on a high note, be done.
And I feel like Lesnar's professional enough to where he's like, I'm down with that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, and that, you know, and a lot of people shit on Lesnar because he liked to be shit on, supposedly. But I'm bummed. But like, he gets a lot of heat. But then I've heard from other people that he's easy to work with. Does that make sense? Like, it's so crazy. Like, I've heard some people that they talk a lot of crap, but I've heard from other people, you know. So I don't know. I'm actually looking forward to it. A lot of the internet wrestling community, the IWC, is fired up, you know. But whatever, man. Cena deserves whatever send off he wants.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whatever send off he wants. This side of bringing Vince McMahon out to say goodbye, which at this point I wouldn't mind that at all.
Oh, that's a hot take.
I don't, you know, dude, to say goodbye. You don't have to have a program with them, but if they're going to be at their final night, why can't he be there? You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, another guy would be Taker, but Taker can't wrestle really. So, you know, if that's what John Cena wants, and, you know, Brock Lesnar's game to do it, I'm for it, man. Nobody in this business deserves an amazing send-off to me than John Cena. Dude, he put everything on his back during a really shitty time in wrestling.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, and...
And look, just for me, what he does outside of the ring.
Amazing.
Taking time out of his schedule to visit sick kids. I mean...
Still!
Yeah. Yeah, although I would have liked to maybe seen just a little bit of heel with that, you know. Not go full-blown with a sick kid, but, you know, be a little bit arrogant.
Maybe as a work for TV.
Yeah, you know what? Cameras are rolling, you know. Hey, kid. You know.
Do I have to do this again? They could have played off it, but all in fun.
Right, yeah. Exactly. Tongue-in-cheek.
Back to it again. Lesnar was a big surprise, and that I looped into that, too, because it was such a big surprise. It was a holy shit moment for me. Like, Michael Cole saying holy shit was awesome.
Yeah.
And that added to it, right? So
I hope he didn't know.
I don't feel like they did.
See, that's exactly it. There's several things, not only on this PLE, but also on Raw and other show programming where I'm like, are they leaving things out for Cole to just generally react?
Because he's great at I'm telling you right now, Michael Cole is doing his best work ever.
Yeah, he is.
Because he doesn't have those Vince McMahon reins on him.
Yes.
I was telling that to Bridget the other night, and I was trying to explain it to her because she's still green with that type of stuff. She likes watching it, but like the stuff that you and I watch, right? Mm-hmm. We like to listen to that stuff. And I was never a coal miner, ba-dum-bump, or whatever he called himself there. But man, once TKO has taken over and he has been able to be himself, he has done some of the best play-by-play and work on the mic that he's ever done.
Do you think that's also because he's gotten very good color commentary partners? Because I think Wade Barrett does a fantastic job with him.
Wade's awesome. Corey Graves is awesome.
McAfee was awesome, too.
You know, people, whatever. I mean, he's a football guy, but when he was there, he did an amazing job.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah, he's had good people, but I mean, Jim Ross had Lawler. Ross was always on his game, and I'm a Jim Ross fan, but man, Cole's on that Mount Rushmore now.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I wouldn't have said that. I wouldn't have thought that at the beginning. He was such a freaking nerd.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, I kind of took the scenic route there, but that's what made that such an awesome moment.
The Cena route.
But go ahead. What made that night, that's what made that surprise such a special moment. Yeah. You're right. Did they even know?
Mm-hmm.
So.
All right, my man. Let's start wrapping things up here. Where can folks find you on the interwebs?
Well, guys, we're doing a lot over on the Whatnot app at Remix Collectibles. It's REMIXCOLLECTIBLES. I know that's a lot of words. It's a lot of big words, a lot of letters. But you can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Whatnot under the same name. We do a lot with wrestling cards, and we're really trying to help build the wrestling card community bigger than what it's ever been. I was just talking to John before we started the podcast. First of all, join us on there. We're looking at doing a thing every Wednesday night on there called Wrestling Community Wednesdays, WCW. And we're trying to help build that. We'd love to see you over there on Whatnot and come join us. But it's a lot of fun.
And your first guest on WCW is Brad Siegel.
Oh, wow. That's funny.
you didn't anticipate that. No,
no, but I thought Bridget was going to try and book Lex Luger to show up
Oh.
in a white dress shirt.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're going to be broadcasting from the Mall of America. Out of the old Pasta Mania spot.
There you go. I mean, it'd only be better if Van Hammer joins you.
Did you see him this weekend?
No.
There's pictures of him. I'll have to find them for you after.
Okay.
Wow. That dude looks creepy.
Okay.
So, creepy picture, guys. Imagine this if you haven't looked at Google it. Lodi and Van Hammer at WrestleCon this weekend.
Whoa. Those are two names I haven't thought of in a while.
Yeah.
I was just being a smartass about the whole
craziness.
Anyways, all right. With that then, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to throw it to a quick break. And on the other side of the break, I'll be back to wrap up.
We miss you, ringside.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. My conversation with DJ Joey Blaze, one half of the Pro Wrestling Pundits, talking about SummerSlam. And, you know, we gave you our thoughts, our opinions, our predictions for what might happen in the future. And hopefully you agree with them, but it's possible that you don't agree with them. And you want to let me know about that. Well, there's a couple different ways you can get in touch with me. First of all, if you're on Twitter, and I still am, you can find me on my personal Twitter handle at PVDMVP. You can shoot me an email if you like, johnorlando@pvdcast.com. Or you can also drop me a line on Threads, Instagram, or Facebook. Just look for the handle of @PVDcast. And if you want to let some folks know where they can hear the show, well, there's a couple different avenues for that as well. First off, PVDcast.com is the online home of yours truly, and probably the best place to get every single new episode. But the show is also available through your favorite podcasting outlet or app. Simply just go to the search bar in your outlet or app that you like to use, put in PVDcast, sometimes you have to put my name after it, and you should find it. And if you're using your favorite podcasting outlet or app, hey, you got to help me out by rating and reviewing. Rating and reviewing helps me out in the algorithm, and it lets the folks know in those outlets or apps that you're listening. And that means a lot of good things for me and a lot of good things for those companies. So once again, if you can, rate and review and also subscribe so that you never miss another episode of the PVD cast. And there's a third and final way in which you can check out the episodes. That is, of course, on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time through the Facebook page at PVDcast, where I play a little live Facebook broadcast, if you will. So there you go. Three ways to hear the show. PVDcast.com, your favorite outlet or app, and of course through the Facebook page on Wednesday nights at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. All right, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to get on out of here. I want to thank you once again for checking out the episode, and I will chat at each and every one of you. Later. Stay righteous, stay independent, stay safe and healthy. Presentation of John Orlando Enterprises, LLC, copyright 2025.